Hey, everybody. Welcome to another First Run Bald Movies podcast. We just got done watching Ghostbusters, the 2016 version, not the 1980-whatever version.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you want to say about this up front, like, non-spoilery. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to talk about this movie non-spoilery, I feel like, but yeah. It's a lot of fun, in my opinion. I really liked it.
Yeah, I was not... I had kept my expectations modest. I went in there and I'm like, you know what? I think Kate McKinnon is going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only real expectation I had. And I found this movie, I thought this movie was kicked ass. I thought it was super funny. Like, so my biggest criticism is it drags a bit in the second act, but that's very common of this kind of superhero slash adventure team type of movie. Like the assembling and the introduction of the team is interesting, and the third act usually kicks ass, but then there's like, okay, how do we get it into the end game? Mm-hmm. You know, Deadpool even suffered from that a little bit. But other than that, the idea that it's hard to connect all three acts together in one of these origin films, I thought it was hilarious.
Like, it was. Everybody in the film is real funny. And I was a little worried going in because I don't particularly like Melissa McCarthy.
Right.
I think she can... Overdo it sometimes.
A little broad. In a comedic sense.
I felt like she reined it in a little bit this movie, and it really worked for me. So.
But she's still, like, I mean, she definitely did recognizably Melissa McCarthy things.
Oh, yeah.
My big worry is from the trailers, I thought I wasn't sure I liked what they were doing to Leslie Jones' character, Patty. I'm like, oh, I don't know. This is the one thing that's not, I'm not feeling real solid about. But I felt like they found a way to have her be a bigger contributor to the team and more integral and kind of, you know, shoulder to shoulder with the other characters than they did with Ernie Hudson.
Sure. Okay.
Is that the guy's name?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you know, he felt like fish out of water afterthought, and that was kind of the whole thing with him in the first Ghostbusters, which I've seen recently.
Yeah, and they make it a point in this movie to not do that to Leslie Jones.
No, yeah, she
to really bring her in,
had her arc, and she felt like she fit in and had some really cool moments. But yeah, that was the thing, and the thing that there was some stakes to this movie. I was joking with Cecily when we're going over there. I'm like, you understand that if this movie sucks, it's, you know, all women suck,
right? And can't be in movies anymore.
I'm pretty sure you're gonna lose the right to vote, and, you know, you're gonna be disenfranchised, and all that. So like, there's a lot riding. You know, like, isn't that funny that like who's the Waterboy guy?
Adam Sandler?
Thank you. Adam Sandler can make shitty movie after shitty movie, and mm-hmm. Kevin James can make shitty movie after shitty movie, and no one's like, oh, dude's insane, what the fuck? They're just like, those are shitty dude movies.
Right.
Women, you know, that's the thing. Like, they're minorities and are judged by the performance more harshly. But fuck it. This was awesome.
Yeah.
This was awesome.
No worry there.
I didn't want to see, you know, because there was two schools of criticism pre the movie being released.
Oh, boy.
There's legit, like, I'm not sure about this idea of remaking an 80s thing, and, you know, this doesn't really work, and it doesn't really look that inspired. And then there's a bunch of, how dare you remake the Ghostbusters as women?
Right, which is ridiculous.
And I didn't want to see that crowd. I mean, they wouldn't have won the argument if this movie had sucked, but they would have beat their chest and crowed about it. You know, it's kind of like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Like, I don't want to see Boston teams win.
Sure.
You know, people from Boston are perfectly lovely. A gentleman from Boston helped commission a podcast that I recorded today. But fuck y'all when you win sports championships. It's the worst. Okay? Yeah. I didn't want that team to win.
Sure.
And they didn't.
They didn't. Now the movie does lean real hard into the criticism that it saw up front.
And I thought that was awesome.
Which I thought worked really well for the most part. I thought maybe they went like an inch too far with it toward the end.
Okay.
Like at the very, very end. Yeah. But we'll talk about that when we get to spoilers.
Okay.
Overall, I just had a really good time in this movie. Now, it's a little different vibe from the original Ghostbusters, which had a lot of like one-liners. It kind of, you know, just 80s comedy, right? Like,
yeah.
You do the close-up on the person saying the funny line, and everybody, like, all the kids in the crowd would repeat it for years on end.
Right.
And it would stick in the zeitgeist. But, like,
right.
this is more of the improvisational type comedy. And I don't think it was improv. I think it just had that flow to it.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't so surprise me if some of it was improv like that in the writer's room, because a lot of these women, you know, Kate McKinnon
come from
and
SNL, yeah.
Right.
Kristen Wiig, like...
Cecily Strong had a pretty prominent part as the mayor's assistant. They've got backgrounds not just in SNL, but you know they come from like Upright Citizens Brigade and Second City,
right?
Comedy, a
lot of improv,
right? So I think why it had that feel. Now you could say the same thing about the original Ghostbusters. You had Bill Murray, for Christ's sake,
right? But the style of movie making was a little different back then. Which you know I don't have a problem with. I like the modern style just fine.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels slightly different from Ghostbusters, but man, the action is so good.
And I thought the ghosts were really cool. Like every one of them had cool designs. Some of them were actually managed to be creepy, without losing the plot of it being comedy. Okay. Like I mean, I don't want to get too heavy into spoilers, but I thought the ghost look of, you know, this bright, almost electric blue color, and then these sickly corpse-like green colors, I thought was just really cool.
Yeah. I mean, the visuals is where it feels like Ghostbusters. Yeah. It really does. Like those real neon colors.
Yeah.
Like the whole movie is a giant proton beam, right?
Yeah. And then the team... I thought the team chemistry was really awesome too. Like the individuals were funny on their own, and then when they played off each other, they were really funny as well.
Yeah, a lot of notable guest appearances that we'll talk about in the spoiler section too.
I also liked how I felt like they played the appropriate amount of respect to the previous franchise.
Yeah,
like there was a lot of like you know in universe winks. And, you know, cameos and guest appearances. And it didn't wallow in it. And it certainly was very much its own movie. Like, they did not remake the original Ghostbusters.
Nope.
It was its own original plot with its own original villain. Something I kind of wondered about. I was, you know, trying to get a feel for the room about whether people thought it was going to be a straight-up remake. Or, like, it's kind of own. Or the other thing I wonder is, like, is this going to be like this Ghostbusters the Next Generation? Like, in this universe, Ghostbusters were a thing, and then somehow they had a bad time and they went bankrupt and
they started making vodka.
And, yeah, they started making Crystal Skull vodka and doing alien appearances. But they didn't. I mean, this is a completely standalone thing. You don't have to know a damn thing about the original Ghostbusters to appreciate it, but if you do. A lot of loving nods towards that material.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, the appropriate amount of respect. It wasn't slavish. It was just like, yeah, that feels right.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else we want to talk non-spoilery?
Not non-spoilery, no.
Okay. Well, then let's do trailer talk.
All right.
Trailer talk, Jim.
Oh, God. This is always a disaster.
First up, why do you say that?
Because all the trailers are so bad. All right, let's go.
Fuck you, man. Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk. This is purports to be the tale of an American soldier and how he goes from some kind of derring do in either Afghanistan or Iraq that maybe is morally ambiguous to being honored at a Super Bowl halftime show.
Right.
And I thought the cast looked really strong. It's star-studded. And the kid that they got starring looks like this everyman, earnest young kid. Like...
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that they might have gotten something there, that he plays that super earnest young man that can appear false, but that is an actual real archetype of a person.
There's something behind his eyes. Like, it's obviously a PTSD-based movie. Right. And he conveys that pretty well.
Right.
Without saying a damn word.
Right.
I'm a little scared off. You were like, oh, man, star-studded cast. I'm a little scared by... The first two names that were listed, Kristen Stewart and somebody else who
Vin Diesel?
Vin Diesel is in it. No, Vin Diesel, he's fine.
Okay, all right.
Vin Diesel's fine, you know.
The back of his head looks like a piece of chewed gum. But,
sure. I can't remember who the other one was, but it was the first two credits, and I was like, I don't know.
Kristen Stewart doesn't frighten me because I remember when she was awesome in Adventureland. Isn't that what was
okay.
the...
Yeah, I've
speaking
never
of
seen
Kristen
Adventureland.
And she was also not terrible in that Zathura, the space version of Jumanji.
Oh my god, you watched that?
Hell yeah, I did.
That's... I hear that was terrible.
No, I like it much better than Jumanji.
Was that the Ben Stiller joint?
No,
wasn't there like a Ben Stiller space movie?
Are you talking about Zoolander?
No, God, no.
Because that's nothing. That's not that movie. No.
I thought he was involved in that. I don't know. Zathura looked terrible, so I never watched it. But
I mean, I have no malice for Kristen Stewart.
I know. She's a real actress. She just has the stink of Twilight on her still.
She cannot blink
30
times a second. And I know I'm the last person to complain about it, but get out of fucking line, then she'll be fine.
Right.
So I'm interested in seeing that. Let's move on to Bridget Jones' Baby.
Oh man, I can't wait to see that.
I mean,
no, I don't care.
I saw the first Bridget Jones; it was fine. I didn't see Bridget Jones' Diary Harder.
Do they not have DNA testing in the world of Bridget Jones? Like, can't you settle this fucking dispute immediately with just take a tongue swab. You're done.
You got to get a tongue swab of the baby.
I know, you can't do that.
But I think, yeah, you can do like an amniotic fluid sample and get this all figured out.
Oh, right, you can get the baby's DNA, for sure. They do it all the time. Is this a story of manipulation? Is this a story of taking advantage of people?
Yeah.
What is Bridget Jones all about? I've never seen a Bridget Jones movie.
Oh, I mean, it's just, I don't think it's for us, dude.
No, it's for probably middle-aged women, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
That seems what Cecily the target
mentioned her mom
is
going to be super excited to see this.
Sure.
So,
sure. And that's fine.
I don't begrudge anyone their pleasures.
No. There are movies for kids, there are movies for old dudes, there are movies for everybody.
Who's the woman that stars in this?
Renee Zellweger.
There you go.
Zellweger.
I have a soft spot in my heart for her. I might see.
Yeah, she's fine.
If like Cecily plans a girls' night with her mom, I might sneak in there.
I liked her in what was that Jim Carrey movie?
Oh yeah,
Me, Myself, and Irene. I never saw the Tom Cruise Cuba Gooding Jr. joint that she was in.
Jerry Maguire.
I never saw it.
You missed out on Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, you know, you missed out.
People like her from that too. So.
So let's move on to Trolls, which when this started up, I'm like, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. By the end of it, I was like, you know what? I think I'll probably have fun taking my kid to see this movie.
Yeah,
the aesthetic won me over. Like, I felt like the jokes were smart. Like, I'm like, okay, these are all hateable characters. Yeah. This is an animated movie about the old troll dolls.
Right, I felt like this movie was 20 years too late, but it makes sense, I guess, in that parents remember them from when they were a kid, and they'll take their kids to go see them.
And the story probably stands alone, and there's this cute kind of almost Kirby Epic Yarn or Yoshi's Woolly World like look and feel to some of the characters that kind of just won me. I'm like, okay, this is really fucking cool character design,
yeah.
And these sight gags are working for me, so what the hell. It looks like it'd be a fun one for kids. Meryl Streep stars in Florence Foster Jenkins about an old woman who sings terribly but somehow plays at Carnegie Hall. Mm-hmm. It's got Hugh Downs, Hugh Jackman, Hugh Grant. It's one of the Hughes. I just got it. He's got Hugh Grant in it.
Uh-huh. Huge ass.
I'm probably gonna see it just because it's got Meryl Streep in it, and you know.
So my girlfriend said they just gave away the whole movie in the trailer. I feel like there's more to it, though.
Probably.
My guess is, based on this trailer, that piano teacher dude somehow, let's say fudged it a bit, got her on the radio with some altered recording.
Yes.
She goes up on stage, and oh, man, she's booed. Yeah. Oh, man, she's booed out of Carnegie Hall. Mm. Her life's ruined. I don't think it's going to turn out that way. It's probably going to be an uplifting story about triumph.
She gets booze and
overcoming
she turns
adversity.
Booze to get over the booze.
Right.
Booze begets booze. No. It's a vicious booze cycle.
No, it's probably a triumphant story.
Okay. I still need to see her Julia Child biopic because I love Julia Child and I love Meryl Streep.
That sounds interesting.
That's the last of the new trailers.
All right. Yeah, they played like Nerve again and
yeah, fuck that.
All that kind of stuff. So
so that's it. This is the end of the free portion of the podcast. If you like funny movies, if you have an honest heart and you don't hate women and you have affection for the original material, you will have a good time at this movie.
Yep.
We are coming up next, I believe, is Suicide Squad in August is our next movie coming up.
It's a ways.
Well, you think, but we're already halfway through July, Jim.
Is it early August?
Oh shit! Oh shit! Yeah, I'm wrong. Next week we have Star Trek Beyond.
Next week?
Next week.
There's a Star Trek movie next week.
There's a Star Trek movie next week, Jim. Holy we're shit. Gonna watch and review it.
I feel like I've seen previews for that for the last 3 months.
Yeah. Week after that, Jason Bourne with the Bourne finality.
No. All right.
I think. And then 8-5 after that, the week after that, is Suicide Squad. So you've got a bevy of first-run bald movie goodness coming your way.
Okay, let's talk spoilers.
Okay, you go first.
What's your favorite weapon?
Ooh, that ghost chipper. That ghost chipper is strong. Pretty fucking strong.
But I gotta say, I think it's gotta go to Case McKinnon or Kate McKinnon's
double
pistol
tongue activated
things.
Pistol. Yeah,
like when she starts rolling around and doing flips and flinging ghosts in the air.
This is things like I started rolling my eyes when she licked it and started. But by the
right,
by
the
3 seconds
that,
into the routine, I'm like, nah, this is pretty fucking cool. That yeah. whole ghost battle was pretty cool.
It was awesome. Yeah, yeah. I like the physicality of the proton beams,
like
being able to move ghosts around. And I know
they
do that in the original, right? But they don't do it in that way.
Effects were so limited.
All they could do was really pull it in a direction.
Yeah.
Now they're doing backflips and flinging ghosts and
like ghost trebuchets with this shit.
Right. It was pretty amazing.
I like all the themes of the ghosts. Like you had this, you know, Uncle Sam conjuring up all the different warriors from different wars. You
the
had
balloons.
Stay Puff came back.
Right, the Macy Days balloons were up there.
It's a pretty good payoff for the... It's a kind of a Barking Cricket kind of a gag where Kristen Wiig's gun's not ready, so they issue her a Swiss Army knife, and I like how she... I thought that she just ripped the nuts off of the Stay Puff or something.
Okay. I thought she used the puncher to punch it, but no.
That was Melissa's deal.
Right.
That was Abby's, I guess.
Yep.
I thought, speaking of, so I mentioned, like, I thought that they showed the appropriate respect for the original material. It was nice that all three surviving Ghostbusters were in it.
Yes.
And Ivan Reitman?
Yeah.
He was, like, in, there's a scene with Kristen Wiig and Charles Dance. Yes, Lord Tywin makes an appearance in this film, and he's awesome.
Yeah.
But she's in this institute, and there's a bust of Ivan Reitman. As she's exiting the building, and I thought that was pretty. And he's also credited as a producer. I guess
he
his estate is making money off that.
I don't know. I didn't recognize the bust of him. I don't know that I've seen him before, but a lot of people were laughing. And
he plays Egon in the classic one.
Oh,
yeah. He
holy shit. Okay, so he looks.
No,
different.
I'm sorry. It's Harold Ramis, not. Ivan Wright. That's Ivan Wright. No, it's Harold Ramis. What the hell am I talking about? Jesus.
This
is a sickness.
Me.
It's not getting any worse. This is the worst thing about bald movies. I get it. It's the worst.
It's the actors.
It's Harold Ramis.
Harold Ramis, yeah.
Ramey? Is it even the S is silent?
No, it's
I don't know, man.
It's Ramis.
I don't know what floor to get off this crazy train on.
And I like that they say for Harold Ramis at the end of it.
Yeah. You know? Like very classy. Very classy. Yeah. He mentioned, so there's a scene early on with Ed Begley and Jared from Silicon Valley, where, you know, Jared's had a close encounter of the spooky kind, and Ed Begley's relaying to the women, like, his story, and he says that he crapped his pants.
And Jared's like, no, I did not crap my pants. That is not true.
Yeah. And Ed Begley, with a straight face, says, what was it, exact words?
I think he said, he called me up and he said, my pants are toast.
Oh, man, my pants are toast.
Oh, man, my pants are toast.
And I can't tell you how much that line hit.
It cracked me up.
It cracked. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you'd be forgiven for thinking that, you know, as feminists and supporters of women, that we're like gilding the lily here. But this theater was at least half full, which judging by all the pre-release shit, you know, like Star Wars is the only thing we've seen is packed. But this was just as packed as like Deadpool or Captain America 3, which I feel like is a pretty good so far it's tracked. So Ohio, so Southwestern Ohio goes, so does the nation and the world when it comes to movies. I feel like that they've got a pretty good hit on their hands.
I think so. I mean, so there's this big controversy because I know that it's... The movie is getting voted down on all of the review sites.
Well, I've already read some early stuff on Reddit where there's a grumbling about, you know, people are the early returns are in, and this movie is showing like high 70% fresh on the Rotten Tomatoes, and you know, a lot of the misogynist fear of the internet was, you know, already calling like, oh, it's because fucking liberal reviewers are wanting to push them over and deny the fact that it
whatever
sucks,
man
and...
it's a funny movie. Get over yourself. Like, make no bones about it is a feminist vehicle, honestly.
Sure.
Like that message is embedded deep within this movie.
Yeah,
and if that, you know, rattles your cage, you're not gonna have a fun time at this movie. But if it doesn't, I think it's great.
Are there Ghostbusters action figures for this movie?
For the new one? I don't know. I don't visit toy stores very often.
I want, because I know that in the originals there was tons of Ghostbusters toys. And honestly, I hope that there's Ghostbusters toys for this go around, because
there should be.
Why wouldn't people want to play with these figures? They're awesome.
An updated Ecto-1.
Oh, hell yeah. Like, all this stuff was legit as fuck. And it wasn't just like, you know, the proton packs weren't exactly the same, and the ghost traps weren't exactly the same, but, you know, they're definitely the spiritual successors, and they looked cool, and they had their own cool effects.
Yep. I'm going to say something kind of controversial here, maybe.
Hit it. Let's talk about it.
I think that the character of Jillian might be the best mad professor since Doc Brown.
Who's Jillian? You're talking about Sigourney?
Kate McKinnon.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Sigourney Weaver cameo at the end was sublime.
It was good, yeah.
You're not wrong. She's great.
I think she was fantastic as a mad scientist.
I am so in love with Kate McKinnon, and I realize she's a lesbian, and also she's way out of my league, and I'm perfectly happy with Cecily and all these things.
I realize every blockade is put up.
Yeah, no one gives a shit, but like, I fucking have such a huge crush on Kate McKinnon, and I love the fact that she's working it in every scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, she's not, there's no scenes where she takes it off. She is doing something weird in the background of everything, and I got a huge kick out of just kind of following her with my eye.
Yeah.
Because, again, the aforementioned doomed crush that I have on her.
No, she's great. I really like a lot of the stuff she does with just like, oh, yeah, the jargon and just like how understated all of the things she does are, like all the things she builds.
Right.
She's like, oh, yeah, this is a blah, 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 and it does this, and oh, my God, it's amazing. But
We should have said this in the non-spoiler section, but I hope that if you saw this movie, you stuck through for the whole credits, because there is a post-credit sequence that sets up the next movie. That is a primary task we should do in the non-spoiler review.
Tell you whether or not you need to
sit through the fucking credits. And these credits were relentlessly entertaining. They had like extra cuts, they had extra character beats, and they had a setup for the next movie.
Yep.
Which introduces the concept of Zool. You recognize Zool?
You're sure. Ghostbusters 2. It's the guy in the painting. Like
Well, no. Zool is the big bad from the first movie.
The guy in the painting?
Yeah.
Oh, I must.
No. That's the Carpathian or something. Zool is the
what?
Zool is the deity, the Sumerian god that they're conjuring up for the first Ghostbuster.
No, my Ghostbuster knowledge is very limited because I could not watch it when I was a kid. So I've seen Ghostbusters like twice.
That's the thing. Like, I don't have Ghostbusters is not on a pedestal for me because I was in my late 20s the first time I saw it.
Oh, right. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, because I couldn't watch it.
As a kid, we were
fucking jelly because that was huge the year it came out.
It was, yeah.
And people talking about Slimer and all this other stuff and quoting all these things. And
I'm interested to see what Jay and Jack have to say about this because I know this is Jay's. Ghostbusters is Jay's favorite movie.
Interesting.
So I want to see what that's all about, what their review is, and I'm sure they'll do one.
Yeah, I'm hoping, because that's the thing. Like, I would like to see the Ghostbuster community embrace this movie, because I think it's fucking cool.
I do, too.
And the fact that, again, all the Ghostbusters, like Bill Murray, sublime as the skeptic.
Right. I
guess effortlessly funny and cool.
I guess I was surprised when he died, but not really, because of his zombie land, or whatever it's called, zombie.
Yeah, he's starting to bean it up in his career.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Just kill me off.
I'm
going to be in it for 5 minutes. Kill me.
I started watching the film Rock the Casbah.
I think so.
It's on HBO Go right now, where he's a band manager and he goes to, I think, Afghanistan and recruits a low. And I got five minutes into it, and it was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
It was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, you know what? I got too much respect for Bill Murray to fall asleep during his film.
Okay.
So I
so instead you shut it off.
I did. No, I'm going to come back. I'm going to come back when I should. I showed appropriate respect.
Sure.
I thought even crazy ass Dan Aykroyd cleaned himself up long enough to do a solid cameo.
Right. Right.
Shout out that, you know, I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Pretty good.
Landed pretty good. Then, as we mentioned, Leslie Jones' uncle shows up at the end.
Yeah.
Ernie Hudson. Being with the final awesome cameo.
Yeah, the hearse driving
mortician.
Yeah,
funeral director.
It's That's pretty good.
Yeah. Man, I thought also, like, everyone seemed like they had a great time. Like, Andy Garcia is playing this mayor, and they got this classic joke of, you know, don't be, because they're doing the same shit in the first movie. They're trying to, like, keep people from being scared. And she's like, you're just as bad as the mayor from Jaws. And he says, don't you compare me to the mayor to Jaws. And he just screams, never. And right.
Don't you ever compare me.
Yeah, like, that's fucking Andy Garcia. Who's been in The Godfather, who's been in the Untouchables, who's been in all the Ocean's 11, and he's not taking this off. This isn't a joke for him, and that's what makes it funny.
Right.
Like, I laughed really hard at that that line.
Yeah, that was good. What about
Chris Hemsworth?
I was going to ask you about him. What did you think of his character?
I thought that was all over the map. There was some things that did not land. There was a lot of things where he's clearly having so much fun and he's doing so much goofy shit that it worked for me.
Right. And you know, it's a turn on the dumb woman trope, which is so blatant.
Right.
That's where it starts to get a little too much for me, is like, okay, I get what you're doing here, guys, but it is a little over the top. It's a little too much.
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, if you go watch the original Ghostbusters and you look at, you know, Sigourney Weaver's not dumb.
No.
But Bill Murray is essentially sexually harasses his way into her pants. You know, I'm inclined to
I was talking about their receptionist in the original Ghostbusters.
Oh.
Isn't she real dumb? Because she has a cameo in this, too.
She's real dumb, but she's not, I don't think, sexually objectified, because of a nerdy, nebbish type.
Right, they kind of combine, you know, the stereotypes into one here with Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth is unfathomably stupid.
He is, like, and that's the part that got to me just a little bit.
The receptionist had a nice cameo, too.
I feel like that's the point, but I also feel like it's a little too much of the nail on the head, because, like, you want to give a little dose of that medicine back, right? For just ages and ages of movies where women are portrayed as either sexually objectified or incredibly stupid, and you want to turn that, you want to push it back in the opposite direction. I feel like anybody who goes into this and is not on board with that idea is just going to be real turned off by that.
Well, you know, I wonder.
It was just a little too much of your own medicine, I think.
I get it. But it's like, you know, you watch Django Unchained and you don't think, like, ah, man, you know, sure, slavery is bad, but I don't know. I want to see all these white slave owners and the House Negro get killed in spectacular fashion. Like, this is a little over the top. Everyone thinks this is fucking cool because the tables have been turned, and I know that I'm uncomfortably making men, all men as a species, as like the enemy.
Sure.
But this isn't that strong. I feel like I'm trying to make a. I think it's fine for the women who have lived through all these tropes and stuff from the dawn of cinema to the very recent age, and it's still some of that stuff still going on.
A lot of it. Sure.
I think it's fine for them to push the pendulum too far the other way. It's all.
Like, I guess I just like at some point the pendulum needs to come back to an equilibrium, and I just feel like there's going to be a lot of strife before that happens, and it
sucks.
Oh
yeah, we're in the next generation or two is in for because the you know the prejudices end up seems like they're dying hard. Like, you know, there's this like as we move towards equality in lots of different areas, there's these dying gasps of. You know, racism and sexism, and I'm not trying to suggest that we're, like, out of the woods or even getting close to that, but I think you're right. And you're not, also, I think your criticism is not out of place, because I feel like any person that wants justice and equality would like the pendulum to swing and stop right in the middle.
Ultimately, yes. I mean, I'm worried about it just swinging from extreme to extreme over and over again. It's not good for anybody. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't get there all at once, and it kind of takes a big push to get it there.
Well,
and it needs to take some time to settle down. So right. It's
I felt
be
like this sexism was pretty benign, number one, because I never felt threatened as a man.
Sure, sure.
Like, what would that look like for... And also that they never played Chris Hemsworth as that he was repulsed or scared or put off by any of, like, Kristen Wiig's inappropriate advances.
Well, he was too dumb to be,
I
honestly.
Think that's like, kind of what... Yeah.
He's too dumb to function.
He's oblivious to what's going... You know.
Yeah.
At one point when she starts dancing with him and trying to dirty, he just kind of walks away in mild annoyance.
Yeah.
So I feel like if this was an 80s bizarro female... meat house version of the movie, she would have pursued him into the office and I don't know, put her tongue in his ear, but
right,
but it stops, like, you know, I can't,
he doesn't swing all the way
I
back.
Can't describe any of their behavior as creepy.
No, I mean, Kristen Wiig is obviously attracted, like very physically
and
attracted,
and he's the secretary
to him,
and she's
and
the
objectifying
boss, and
him completely, but
that's problematic.
Right.
Right.
Right. But you know, it is that bit of dose of your own medicine,
and it's also it's not funny that this is happening. It's funny because in a meta sense we're all aware that Chris Hemsworth as a smoking hot dumbass secretary is
right.
like that's the joke.
Sure.
Like, it's not like I don't think women are coming out of this you know, thinking that a behavior is okay, although, you know, I've definitely seen a lot of women act inappropriately around good looking men.
Okay.
All you in the bachelor parties and at the male strip clubs and that's crashing the gay dudes bars. Like, you know, sometimes you get out of hand.
All right.
And that shit needs to stop if we're all going to move forward as equals.
Oh, God.
Eventually. But, you know.
I feel like people are going to get offended. Like, giving someone a dose of their own medicine.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It doesn't really, like, it should teach them something, right? If they're introspective and they can understand what's happening, it should teach them something. But the kind of people who react viscerally to this sort of feminism movement,
yeah,
are not going to see this as a dose of their own medicine. They're going to see it as offensive on the face of it.
Well, I mean, I think that's what I'm worried about. It's a fairly wise saying that says to a privileged class, equality looks like oppression.
Sure. Yeah.
Because you are actually being lowered in a way.
Right. Because you need to be.
Yeah. You're being taken down a peg.
There's an inequality here. We need to lower someone and we need to raise the others.
Right.
So
exactly.
I don't know. I don't want to get too preachy about this.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. I mean, and you could talk about like equalities of outcome versus equalities of opportunity, but I feel like that. Yeah, you're right. There will probably be a lot of dudes be like, "Whoa, why is it bad when we do it, and it's not bad when these women do it?" And well,
guaranteed. And that's a fine point, but you're missing a lot of context here.
And also, like, heaven help us all if women were that thin fucking skinned.
Sure.
Like, I think that's the big sense of, like, schadenfreude that I've gotten out of this situation is, like, people love to say how feminists have no sense of humor and how they're reactionary and thin skinned. And there are extremes in the community that I would describe that.
There are extremes in any community, yeah.
But by and large, the dudes on the internet, they're downvoting Ghostbusters and sex. They are
right.
The ones
oh
that
my
show
God.
They're
how,
just
how
these,
petty and vengeful. Just like
they're being the prissy little bitches that they're accusing,
right?
You know, the Tumblrinas of being.
It was a pretty funny line. I can't remember if this was in the stinger afterward or just before the movie ended, but when Jillian meets Sigourney Weaver. Kate McKinnon and Sigourney Weaver on screen, they're like, oh, yeah, safety lights are for dudes.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Because
that shit was said with a straight face.
Right.
And,
right.
You know?
Safety lights are for pussies. Safety lights are for bitch,
yeah.
Whatever. Like,
yeah.
Flip it on its head and see all the dudes get offended.
Right. And I just feel like as a dude that's in pocket, because like, I'm like, yeah, we kind of fucking deserve that. That's,
right.
That's fair.
Sure.
You got me. Also, I thought it was really cool to see them reading like online reviews of their service. Like,
yes.
You know, there's YouTube videos of them with the ghost, and she's like, God. Yeah, read these comments. And she's like, bitches don't need to be catching no ghosts. She's like, no, the other ones. Like, yes, that's exactly right. Like, if you go to the Ghostbusters trailer and look at the YouTube fucking gutter, that's a sanitized version of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. But. Now, I was pleased that the movie was not just adequate, but hilarious in its own right.
Yeah. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
What else? Oh, I gotta say that the community college dean put on a clinic of middle finger gymnastics.
Oh my god!
Because you know, there's a couple crowd favorites, like the slowly inflating.
Sure.
But
seen that one before, right?
But then he pops it
and it goes fluttering. He's caught it.
Caught it. Yes, that put it over the top. Like there is so many unique middle finger deployments, and it's hard to do nowadays because you know we've seen movies do this and they ripped like three or four of them off in a row.
Yeah.
Thought it was so funny.
Hilarious. I was rolling that scene. Can I give one criticism of this movie?
Sure. We've given several, honestly, but yeah, one more.
My biggest criticism of it is that mannequin scene where they didn't do enough with it.
Oh, okay. Because I thought the mannequins was all this close to being inspired.
It was. It was that close. The problem is they didn't go far enough with it. Like, they had the one mannequin. I would have liked a more extended fight scene there, I guess.
Sure.
Like, a middle movie fight scene.
Or maybe have, the Leslie Jones character, Patty, struggle a little bit. Because she's essentially, like, nope, this is a room of nightmares.
Right. And they needed, like, the hotel. Do you remember the hotel scene? I don't remember if it was from Ghostbusters 1 or 2.
That's where Slimer was deployed, right?
I think so, yeah.
You talking about that?
They go into the ballroom and they fight a bunch of ghosts in there. And, like, it becomes a thing.
Yeah.
Or the library.
Yeah,
I remember
the
library being a big scene in Ghostbusters. They needed some like mid movie set piece like
that.
You
didn't think the demon in the rock concert was that for them?
I guess it was. Yeah.
I mean, well, that's what the mannequin scene led up to because that was what was inside the mannequin. That
right.
Demon.
I just wish they'd done more with the mannequins.
Yeah, because the mannequin
they're creepy.
They like 30 seconds, and then they got the proton packs on it. The mannequin burnt away, and the devil burst out of it.
Yeah.
You're right.
I guess that is a mid-movie set piece. I just wanted more
mannequins.
But
you're right. The mannequins was threatening to be a legit creepy moment.
Yeah.
And I thought, again, there was some, like, you know, teenage thrills and chills to be had. Like, I think my son... I want to take my son to this movie, but I think he might piss his pants.
I was waiting for the kid, like, four rows behind us to freak the fuck out
and
cry.
That kid felt like he's been born and bred to this. Like, he's been watching
it.
The Walking Dead since before.
Right. Like, he's been to Walker Stalker Con four times.
Yeah, like, Mad Brew's daughter was... She never understood that was something you're supposed to be afraid of.
Right.
It's like, you know, if you raise the kids in a tarantula farm, they wouldn't be afraid of spiders. So.
Right.
But I'm afraid, because that's the thing, like, I think if he can get through the first 15, 20 minutes of the movie, because the lady ghost is pretty scary, especially when she transforms into the ectoplasm puker.
Right.
And that electrocution dude is pretty scary for a kid. All the other, like, I thought the demon thing was just a really cool design. It wasn't scary.
It was.
And none of the late movie ghosts are really scary. I even loved the, like, when the guy took over Chris Hemsworth, I thought that was pretty funny.
The main
villain. But when he, like, shed that body for essentially the Oogie Boogie Man from Nightmare Before Christmas, you've seen that, surely.
The Oogie Boogie Man.
The Nightmare Before Christmas, the Tim Burton stop.
I have.
Okay, good.
Are you talking about the...
The main villain in the movie is called the
Giant
Oogie...
Giant Ghost?
Yeah. He looks like the Oogie Boogie Man from, you know, the big burlap sack ghost, villain ghost from Nightmare Before Christmas.
I'm not remembering what that is.
Man, I'm going to have you over on both Halloween and Christmas Eve.
On the night before Christmas?
To watch that, because you need...
Right, that
you
gets
that.
Two plays a year, doesn't it?
I'm
that
you,
bastard
really.
Tim Burton shoehorning his movies into our schedules wherever he can.
He's a savvy director. What do you want?
Let me ask you about one more cameo. Actually, a few more cameos.
Yeah.
Ozzy Osbourne, what'd you think?
Didn't land for
me. No, not at all.
Like, what the... I mean, it didn't detract from the movie, but it's like one of those...
It was
what
just like, hey,
fuck?
I'm... He could have shouted, hey, I'm Ozzy. Like, just,
didn't he? Didn't he?
He might have. I couldn't understand.
He's like, Sharon, where's my dick pills?
Where's my slippers?
Yeah, that's like, that fucking joke was 15 years too late.
Yep. Didn't like that one at all.
But whatever, you know, I guess maybe the metalheads were excited for it.
A couple more of these cameos. Michael Kenneth Williams.
Oh my fucking God, I can't
didn't
believe
I... Didn't expect to see him.
Yeah.
And
he was having some fun in that final dance scene, number two.
Oh yeah, and Matt Walsh. Both of them played FBI agents or whatever, agents of the mayor, I guess.
Yeah,
not FBI.
No, I think they were FBI.
They were actual FBI. Were they working
so.
With the feds on that?
I believe so.
Okay.
We were talking about Andy Garcia and Cecily Strong.
Yep.
Annie Potts reprised her. Well, she didn't reprise her role. She just showed up as the old desk clerk from the movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I think that's most of them. I think that's about all I have to say about this movie.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. And if you listen to the spoiler section and for some reason haven't seen the movie yet, go watch it. It's fun. It's a lot of fun.
I'm kind of caught. I'm excited for the sequel too. Like
I'm sure they're going to do a sequel now.
Oh, I mean, I'm guessing this movie is going to make between $200 and $300 million domestic,
right?
And another. I don't know. I don't know how well this works globally. Honestly,
I think it'll make its money back easily. Easily.
Oh, sure, sure. I don't know what the budget was, but it's definitely going to make its money back. I don't know about the global performance because, you know, some of the places where you traditionally pull in huge numbers with like the Avengers, I don't know, are the most female friendly.
Oh, okay. You know I hadn't thought of that.
Like,
sure.
What does China and India
and
the Middle East make of this movie? Like, you'll do all right in Europe, but...
I really don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm sure they'll make a sequel, and I'll be there with another first-run movies.
And I'm curious to see how the action figures look like. I might get myself a Kate McKinnon action figure. And,
get an Ecto-2.
And keep it classy. Won't do anything creepy to the action figure. I'll just admire it on my shelf.
With hearts all around it. Yes. Little paper hearts that I've fashioned.
Yeah, I'll sleep with her under my pillow.
And I'll have a custom Aaron action figure commissioned, and I'll sit her at the table for tea.
That would be sweet. Oh, and then I'd get like a little dollhouse of the
fire. You should do that and post it on Reddit. Oh, you'd get so much karma.
Oh, yeah.
All the karma.
Yeah. That's what I do everything for, karma.
Right.
All right. Let's get out of here. We'll see you next week for Star Trek Beyond. Afraid of no ghost.